And the title of our study tonight is God is Not to Blame. I was almost going to call it Don't Blame It on God. Amen. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But in your introduction, in the next two verses, the next two verses deal with an important theological doctrine, namely the origin of sin. The origin of sin. Says here, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Unlike chapter 1, verse 2, where it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Okay, unlike chapter 1, verse 2, the temptation referenced in chapter 1, verse 13 is not the testing of God. And we've seen that. We looked at that last week, talking about blesses the man that endureth temptations, endures trials, endures storms, endures difficulties, okay? And this is not talking about that, but rather the solicitation to do that which is evil and contrary to God's word. So when you look at chapter 1, verse 2, it talks about, hey, we're to count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations, difficulties, testings. But here it's talking about how when we're tempted to do evil, we can't blame it on God because it's not God that does that, okay? So number one, let's look tonight, if we could, at the admonition. The admonition. Starts right off the bat there in verse 13, number one, the admonition, let no man say when he is tempted, okay? Let no man say when he's tempted. And again, just dissecting the verse here, here God clearly commands us when we're tempted to be silent, to be silent. And there's a reason for that. We have a couple of verses here in Proverbs. A man of understanding holdeth his peace. Amen? The second verse, one of my favorite of the Proverbs, is even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. Some people have said it's better to be a quiet fool than open your mouth and remove all doubt. Amen? And you see it, the remainder of that verse says, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. You know, there's another one in Proverbs that tells us, that says, a man before he heareth the whole matter is a fool. Why? Because he's not listening. Amen? And so here God is talking to us when we do get tempted to be silent. And here the command to silence is for the sinner's own good. Okay? Here the command to silence is for the sinner's own good. Why? Because we see Roman numeral number 2 here, we see the justification. What's the justification that people get? Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Okay? We have a note here, and we want to go to Genesis chapter 3. Let's go there. Go to Genesis chapter 3 here. The justification. I'm tempted of God. This temptation to do evil came from God. No, it didn't either. Amen? It didn't. Amen? Genesis chapter 3, on your outline, we have here, the blame game is as old as Eden. The blame game is, and you remember, here's Adam and Eve, and they're in a perfect environment. They're in an environment where there is no sin, where there is nothing evil or wrong, amen. And then the old serpent comes, that one that was filled with pride, was cast out of his position in heaven, I believe cast into the earth, and he comes to him, and he says to Eve, he twists God's word, and he says, yea, if God said you cannot eat of all the trees of the garden, and we know, ladies and gentlemen, that God didn't say that. God just said you couldn't eat of one. There's a big difference in those statements. God said you can eat of every tree except one. But Satan, as he often does, he perverts statements. He misconstrues words. And he said, did God say you couldn't eat of all those trees? And she began to scratch her head and think about it. Well, we were just not supposed to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he said, of course, God's not being good to you. Listen, there's special powers in that tree. And you can on and on and on. He just doesn't want you to be like him. He doesn't want you to know good and evil. And by the way, I'll tell you what. When I hear the tale of a four-year-old dying, I wish I didn't know about good and evil. And I think everybody wishes they didn't know about good and evil. And we know what happened. Adam and Eve took of the tree. Eve took and gave her husband. And the Bible says in Timothy that Adam was not deceived. He knew what he was doing. He took of it. They ate. They found out they were naked. And they come before God. Look at verse number 11 of Genesis 3. Or verse 10 is a better starting verse there. It says, and he said, because God had asked him where he was in verse 9, he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. By the way, disobedience to God will always produce fear. Always. When you do that which is wrong, it'll produce fear. He said, I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Now listen, Adam had been naked his whole life. Which I don't know how long it was between the time he was created and the time that, and neither does anybody else, amen. But forever that time, he was always naked and he wasn't afraid. Now he says, I was naked, I'm afraid. And God says, and he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? And he's asking rhetorical questions here because God knows the answers, amen. Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. I heard of a church where they had some strife, had a little bit of division going on, and there was division between the men and the women. And one of the women said to one of the men, said, where would you be if it weren't for us women? And the man said, we'd be back in Eden, swinging under the trees. Amen? But what did he do right away? He said, it was the woman that you gave to me. And then, of course, if you keep reading there, it says in verse number 13, and the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me. And on and on and on. Okay? On your outline there, the blame game is as old as Eden. To blame God when we sin, now listen to this, folks. To blame God when we sin is to libel the character of God. Okay? I guess libel is print. If you want to put slander, you could put that as well. Libel is print, slander is vocal. We say, God made me do it. I'm telling you what, that is not true. Amen. But it's amazing that when we get in sin, how we like to try to justify it. Amen, amen. Listen, I'm made of the same stuff you are. Try to justify things. But you know what? He says here, let no man say, when I'm tempted of God. He says, don't say that. Don't say that. You may think it, but don't say it. Amen. Very, very clear here. Much bad doctrine, on your outline, can be seen in such a statement. We have here, number one, under there, and some of this may not mean a lot to you, but for some of us, this means Calvinism's logic. Calvinism's logic. See, in Calvinism, people going to hell is part of the perfect will of God. Okay? If those of you have studied Calvinism, you know that in Calvinism's form of theology, they believe that some people are predestinated by God to be saved. Some people are predestinated to be lost. They can't do anything about it. And so if you take that to its logical conclusion, you will find that sin is the perfect will of God. And you know what that's saying? God made this. God didn't make sin. Amen? That doctrine is refuted. Amen. We have another one here, number two, and we see this one every day in our country. Sodom's lasciviousness. Sodom's lasciviousness. If you have ever debated, and I have many times on the computer debated folks that had a pro-homosexual agenda, their number one squelch that they try to use is, God made me this way. According to this verse, no, he didn't. No, he didn't. And we have another one here, moral liberalism. Not only Calvinism's logic, Sodom's lasciviousness, but moral liberalism. Hey, God made me this way. I could do whatever I want. My body, my choice. And ladies and gentlemen, it's all bad doctrine. It's all bad. So we see the justification. God refuses to allow such evasions of responsibility. You know, Proverbs 28:13 is a great verse. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. You know what you do when you blame God for your sin? You're just covering it. You're just putting a gigantic, you swept the kitchen floor and you got this pile of dirt like this, and you open up the rug and you just push it under the rug and you got this big lump in the rug. And the rug is covering it up, but it's right there. It's the same thing. Whoso covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall find mercy. Amen. Don't blame God. The admonition, the justification. Lastly tonight, we see the refutation. The refuting, amen? The refutation is the end of verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Number one, the incompatible. The incompatible. God cannot be tempted with evil. I have this illustration here. A snowflake would have a better chance of floating into the sun than tempting God to do evil. A snowflake, you just imagine this, folks. It's a ludicrous illustration, and it's designed to be that way. Just imagine, you know, what happens to a snowflake when it gets warm? It melts. Listen, our God is a consuming fire, Hebrews 12:29. And he can't even bear to look on that which is evil, let alone to have his character tempted with evil. It's incompatible with the character of God. A snowflake would have a better chance of floating in the sun than tempting God to do evil. God's terrifying holiness would burn it up. Listen, I know this church believes it. I don't have to pound and scream, though I do, just because that's me, but God's holy. God is holy, amen. He's holy. He can't be tempted with evil. That's why it's a foolish thing for us to say, oh, well, God made me do it. No, he didn't. Not only the incompatible, but we see the impossible. Neither tempteth he any man. God cannot tempt any man to do evil because he's holy. Because his character is holiness, because he can't even absorb evil, amen. He can't be tempted with evil. Therefore, because of that incompatibility, it's an impossibility for him to tempt people to do evil. He can test our character, amen. He can test our character. He can allow trials in our life, but don't blame it on God. You know, there's a great little maxim. When you mess up, fess up. That's the way God wants us to operate. See, the thing is, folks, he already knows when we mess up. Somebody say amen. So I haven't sinned in 25 years. Well, you just did. You lied. Amen. No, so get to the altar. Amen. No, we all sin. We sin every day. Amen. We disappoint God. Hey, listen, he knows. I talked to somebody this week. What a blessing. Lord willing, they're going to be here on Sunday. And they said this. They said to me, said, I've been out of church for a long time, and it's eaten me up. And Brother Leonard, I said to him, praise God, it eats you up.
Amen.
Tells me you got a heavenly Father. You know what I told him? Hey, you know what? You messed up. Fess up. And be where you're supposed to. That's the life. The Christian life is a process. Listen to me, folks. It's a process of messing up and fessing up. We're not perfect. Thank God. I mean, if you are here tonight and you're perfect, you messed it all up for the rest of us. Amen? Because the rest of us are imperfect. Amen? Just a process. But here's the thing. Don't blame God. You fess up. Hey, I did wrong. I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. Please help me. Help me to forsake this. Help me to move on for you. Don't blame God. And we're going to look at next week the process of sin. We see the process of sin in verses 14 and 15. Father,